Before we get into this week's podcast, I've got some exciting news to share with you. We recently shared how you can get your hands on the Comrades Marathon Pacing Bands. You could order yours up front, pre-order, and then pick them up printed at the Coach Parry stand at the Comrades Marathon Expo in Durban. Since we let you know that, we have got hundreds of emails asking us exactly how to predict what your Comrades Marathon finish time might be. The good news is we've created a calculator that'll tell you exactly how to do that, okay? All you need to do is head over to coachparry.com/time. The link is also in the description of this podcast. You can click on that. It'll take you straight through to the page. Plug in your best marathon time over the last 12 months, and it'll tell you exactly what your predicted Comrades Marathon finish time is for the app run this year, but also for the slightly shortened route as well. So we've done all the calculations for you. All you need to do is plug your marathon time in, and it'll tell you exactly what you can expect to run at the Comrades Marathon. All you need to do, head over to coachparry.com/time, and you can also pre-order your pace band for that exact finish time on that same page. So coachparry.com/time.
It's almost impossible. So what I'm going to say is I'm going to throw this out there, is that if you listen to me and you don't finish, you've got someone to blame. But if you don't listen to me and you don't finish, then you've only got yourself to blame. And that's really the best way that I can convince people to doing this right.
Welcome onto this edition of Up. It's great to be back with you. My name is Brad Nadelt. We've got the coach, Lindsay Parry, with us. Lindsay, a week on. We're still alive. We didn't get taken out by Cape Town running community, but they're not happy with us. How's it going?
Yeah, all is well. And we are hitting road shows and webinars, and life is good. It's all, it feels like all roads lead to Comrades at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't give, unfortunately, can't give any feedback about my gripe last week about Cape Town's runners, because I've been away and I haven't run in Cape Town this week. So I'm going to be running, I'm going to be running this week. I'll give you some feedback next week to let you know if the Cape Town runners have improved their behavior and are greeting, unlike the Johannesburg runners. So, Lindsay, we spoke a little bit about planning your year last week, as well as what training plan you should be on. And we touched on two things that we said we were going to talk about in a future episode. And we're going to talk about them in a lot more detail today. And I'm talking consistency being one and strength training being the other. We're exactly this coming weekend will be the 16 weeks to Comrades Race Day. I also just want to give everyone a heads up. It's Valentine's Day this week. So this is actually for Lindsay. It's not for everyone else. Linz, don't forget it's Valentine's Day. Want to keep you in Haley's good books. So Lindsay, let's talk about the first one being consistency. We'll talk about strength a little bit later on. But consistency is, people downplay it. It's probably one of the biggest needle movers when it comes to improving your running. One of the things that's super easy to control, but it takes discipline.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, last week I emphasized getting into the habit and creating that consistency. But of course, by definition, consistency is what we do day after day, week after week, and month after month. I think it was 2 weeks ago now, we had Sean Micklejohn on a webinar, and that was one of the biggest things that he emphasized in terms of his own running journey and the improvements that he made, and really what he advocates now in terms of getting himself and being able to perform at such a high level for so many years. He's done 31 Comrades, and they have all, I mean, the slowest one was 7:18. So that's incredible. So it's what we do, as I said, day after day, week after week, month after month. And what I want to emphasize about it is this, is that you will get a far better result at Comrades if you ran 3 days a week, totaling 40Ks every week from this week until you got to Comrades. If you did that, you would be pretty well prepared. Could you be better prepared? Yes. But you'd be pretty well prepared. You'd almost certainly be uninjured, which is just really important. And you would finish Comrades. The reverse of going hard now, and you know, we spoke last week about how important it is just to hold back. You know, we're only a week on, so it's not like that advice is going to change. We want to be building up slowly. If we build up too quickly, we're doing too much mileage now and we get injured. and we miss 2 weeks of training, 3 weeks of training. Then we come back, we panic because we want to, you know, catch up on the lost training or make sure that from here on in we're doing enough training. So we jump straight back up to 80, 90 kilometers a week, break down with injury again. And that's the kind of thing that gets in the way of consistency. So if we just build up really slowly and we focus on low to moderate volume over a really long period of time, you will get fit, you will get strong, and you will be in a way better position to finish Comrades and in a way better position in terms of starting Comrades without an injury than you will if you kind of skip ahead or do too much or build up too quickly. So that's really what we are talking about when we mean consistency. It's day after day, week after week, month after month. And what allows us to get those three things together, what allows us to put that training and string it together week after week, month after month, that is being sensible, moderate over high volume, building up slowly to get there, and strength training. And that's what we're going to talk about next.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a moment, but I wanted to just touch on, I mean, that 40K a week number is mind-boggling, and I'm sure there's people going, there is no ways that there'll be ice hockey in hell before somebody can finish Comrades running 40Ks a week from now until Comrades race day, especially with the talk, and maybe our international runners don't struggle with this as much as the South Africans do, because South Africans are at running clubs every week. There are people that do stupid amounts of mileage in the build-up to Comrades, and there's a massive comparison game, and it just ramps up as you get closer and closer to race day. Mm-hmm. It becomes more and more intense, and it's easier to get more and more freaked out. So you're talking 40Ks a week, Linz. Like, I know because I've done it. Like, I've been that runner who's literally averaged 40 to 50 Ks a week and finished. But how do you not get caught up in the hype of people running these crazy amounts, running 1,500, 2,000 Ks for a finisher's medal in the build-up to Comrades? How do you wrap yourself in cotton wool and not get involved?
It's almost impossible. So what I'm going to say is I'm going to throw this out there, is that if you listen to me and you don't finish, you've got someone to blame. But if you don't listen to me and you don't finish, then you've only got yourself to blame. And that's really the best way that I can convince people to doing this right. I mean, I know there were a few other circumstances around your first Comrades and your first failed attempt, but when you did your second Comrades, but even more important, your third one, and you finished both of those, you did what I'm telling people to do now. But I mean, what was your, remind me your upper-end time again? I mean, it was fast.
No, my upper-end time, the first one was 11:43. The last upper-end I did was a bit slower because I was helping a mate. But my down-run was a 10:36.
I've got them mixed up. But the point is, so your first one you finished, and your second one on very similar advice. Mm. I mean, honestly, we didn't give you more. We added cycling, so fine. You did do some more training, but you didn't run more, and you ran, well, you also ran like something ridiculous, like 50 minutes off the bike in a triathlon for 10Ks. But the point is you did 10:36. And that was not off. You weren't doing 70 to 80 kilometers a week. There were a couple of weeks, maybe three at most, where you did breach that like 60, 70 kilometer mileage. But for the most part, you were chugging out in the 50s. Consistently in the 50s. So yeah, it's difficult to convince people, and when they watch other people doing all these runs, and you've got people that like posted on Facebook and Twitter that say to finish Comrades you have to do, sent me a mail the other day and said they were told like to finish Comrades you have to do 1,500 kilometers. I was like, what? No, you won't finish Comrades if you do 1,500 kilometers. You won't start. I mean, everyone is different in a different place in the journey, but this guy wouldn't start Comrades if he did 1,500 kilometers between January and race day. So yeah, Brad, that's, I think the best way is that we've gotten countless numbers of people to finish and enjoy Comrades doing it this way. But I will take your blame. If you don't finish Comrades, it's my fault. But if you don't listen to me and you don't finish Comrades, or you don't get the time you're training for, that's your fault.
Yeah, Lindsay, and I think that the follow-up question to that around the consistency is, and I'll use myself as an example here. I said it last week. We were talking about how much Stephen Mazingi weighed when he won Comrades compared to someone like me. I'm definitely not built like a runner. I mean, I'm 6'8". People, when they see me at the expo, if they see me at races, they go, wow, you're a lot taller than on the internet. I mean, that's just what people say to me. And the truth of the matter is, if I, me personally, had to try and do those sorts of mileage, as you said, I wouldn't have made it to the start line because I would have been broken, absolutely broken, because I'm biomechanically not the best runner out there. I'm a big guy. I'm tall. And that's the point is, when you do too much, you're putting yourself at risk of injury and then breaking down. So you're missing weeks. You're much better doing slightly less and being consistent over that period of time than pushing, trying to chase numbers and then trying to catch up because you've missed a week or two or three of training. That becomes this downward spiral that's super difficult to get out of.
That's it. And you've actually summarized it better than I can. It's why the consistency, the sheer consistency works. I can't see my calculator here. There it is. I actually want to just do some math here quickly, because I actually think 50Ks a week also adds up to way more than people realize. So super basic math. I'm just going to go with 4 weeks per month, and we've got 24 weeks to Comrades. But if you did, that's 200Ks a week, right?
200Ks a month.
And Comrades, sorry, 200Ks a month. That's 200Ks a month, and we won't include June because we run around the beginning of June. So we will just go January to May. That is 1,000 kilometers. It's a lot of kilometers. So that's the thing. People do get caught up and they get sucked in. And maybe one of the ways to also try and get this point home is that over the years, when I've looked at it, who's been successful, who started Comrades without an injury. And those are those are the people who are successful on race. They're people who start Comrades without an injury. We're talking finishes between like 800 and maximum 950Ks. We're talking your bronze medals, 900 to just over 1,000Ks. Your Robert Macaulay's pretty much on 1,000, maybe 1,100. Bill Rowan's, we're talking 1,000 to 1,300, and then yeah, we've already joked in last week's podcast that the Silver Oaks don't have friends and they don't like their family. So you know, then we're talking 1,800 to 2,300 kilometers in training. But I think that was the important bit. If we break it down to 50Ks a week from now until Comrades, you will chalk up 1,000 kilometers. So honestly, it is enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lindsay, you spoke about getting injured and staying consistent. Obviously, that was the one part. The second part you said was strength training from the consistency. And that plays hand in hand with the consistency, because staying injury free helps you stay consistent. We speak about it a lot on the downrun, the importance of strength training, but is it different for the uprun? Is it more important? Is it less important?
Just a quick break from the podcast for a second to let you know and remind you that you need to pick up your Comrades Marathon Pace Band for Comrades 2024 right now. CoachParry.com/pace. You can also click on the link in the description to this podcast right now. Don't leave anything to chance. Make sure you plan the perfect race come race day. Head over to CoachParry.com/pace right now to get your custom Coach Parry pacing band for race day to make sure you run the race that is best suited for where you are and your training right now. That's CoachParry.com/pace. You can click on the link in the description right now. And don't forget, you don't want to pick up just one. Don't just take your plan A. Make sure you've got a plan B and plan C as well. That's CoachParry.com/pace.
Running the Comrades Marathon doesn't have to be scary and intimidating. Just thinking about running 90 kilometers or 56 miles should give you butterflies in your stomach. Add to that the hills you have to run up and down and having to do it in under 12 hours. The thought of it is enough to freak the most seasoned runner out. Never mind a newbie to ultra running or a Comrades Marathon novice. As much as Comrades is a physical challenge, it's just as much a mental challenge. The constant mental gymnastics of second guessing yourself takes its toll. Am I training enough? How long should my long runs be? How many marathons should I run? What does this pain in my knee mean? My ankle is sore. Should I rest or run? And then the two big ones. Am I fast enough? And will I finish? The questions never stop. The constant worrying is exhausting. And that's exactly why we've created the Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap. It's a proven step-by-step training plan to get you from where you are today to having a Comrades medal around your neck without the stress and worry. Knowing that you've done what it takes to finish the ultimate human race, feeling strong and in control. Ensuring that you arrive at the start line fit and most importantly, injury-free, because more than 64% of those who didn't finish the race last year started with an injury. The Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap guides you through every step of your Comrades journey. Training, qualifying, tapering, and race day. We've got you covered every step of the way. Simply head over to coachparry.com/up to get access to it now, or simply click on the link in the description. That's coachparry.com/up. Now back to the podcast.
From a performance point of view on race day, strength training is probably a bit less important than on the down run, because the down run just has such severe pounding on your quads and your glutes in the second half of the race when you've already got a higher degree of fatigue. So from a pure performance point of view, it's more important on the up run, on the down run, but that doesn't make it unimportant on the up run. And I think if we, as I'm going to keep doing over the next 16 weeks, I think if we explain why things are so important, that really helps the penny drop. And that, I think, will get the buy-in and why people should do strength training. And hopefully it then leads them to do strength training. So why do we do strength training? So there are two great reasons for strength training. And that is, number one, the injury prevention component makes you stronger, so it makes your body more resistant to injury, particularly musculoskeletal injuries. It makes sure that we are strengthening the right muscles so that the prime movers are doing the moving, the stabilizers are doing the stabilizing, that muscles are activating appropriately, and you are operating off a more stable base of support. So that then reduces your risk of injury, both through the physical strength that you provide, but also the improvement of the biomechanics. And then it'll make you a better runner for very similar reasons, but it literally makes you run better because you're stronger. But then this biomechanical improvement and your improvement in efficiency is just such a key component of why you get better when you're on stronger. So imagine this, because this is what most of us are like. Your heel slams into the ground and your knee starts to buckle and your hips start to give. That's literally what happens every time we hit the ground. And as you apply more weight and move over your foot moves into a flat position, and then you move and you push off. As we move through that phase, as we put more weight on, then our knee kind of, as we've hit the ground, our knee ducks inwards and our hip drops down. So that's what's happening as we just adding more and more weight. And then as we move through this mid-phase stance, flat on the ground, and we're moving towards a position where we're going to push off with our toes, now we are straightening the knee, bringing it back to the midline and pulling the hip up, so that when we push, we're pushing in one direction and we're not pushing in multiple directions because we've twisted and dropped, which some people are pushing multidirectional because they're not even strong enough to get themselves back into position. Now, if you've done the strength training, you don't leave the position. You hit the ground hard, but your muscles can all do the job that they're supposed to do. So your knee stays nice and straight, your hips stay nice and square. So as we roll in into that mid phase and then into the propulsion phase, Everything is already ready. It's nice and stable off a good base, and our force can all be used to send us forward instead of first correcting us so that we can drive off in the right direction. And that's why strength training is so important. Injury prevention, and it makes you run better. And we've just been talking about how we don't need kilometers and kilometers. You're better off sacrificing at least one run a week and adding strength. You're going to get more performance gain from that than doing an extra 5, 10Ks over and above the program and get more from the strength training.
Yeah, and we'll talk about sort of how much and when in the sort of phase in the build-up to rest. You talk about better off not running one day and doing strength instead. Lindsay, when we talk about strength, what sort of stuff are we talking about? Are we talking about in a gym picking up heavy weights, or is body weight stuff okay? Or what about things like yoga or Pilates? Does that count as strength work?
So we are. It does count as strength, Brad. So I always let me start there. Pilates and yoga, of course, they count as strength, but really we want to be doing some form of resistance training. Pilates and yoga are excellent for building range of motion, building strength, switching on and activating the right muscles. So I like to think of those as complementary to strength and improving on strength. But I am referring here specific to proper resistance training. And in particular, the Pilates instructors that want to get on my case, yes, there's definitely, particularly if you use things like reformer, there's plenty of ways to, but as part of your Pilates, let me round that off by saying, but it must include some resistance training. Now, does resistance training mean you have to be in a gym? Certainly not at the beginning. I mean, you can do resistance training quite well using body weight exercises. As you progress, you can use things like bands and stretch cords and some lighter dumbbells and kettlebells, that sort of thing that you can easily purchase and have at home. And then eventually, if you get strong enough, we will move on to resistance training and using weights and free weights. And you can use machine weights, but I prefer the free weights. And then the other important question that leads in from there, Brad, often is, okay, but what am I focusing on? And I'm afraid bench press doesn't count. I mean, you can do bench press, and it will certainly help with your overall look and feel. But no, we're talking focus is on legs, and in particular quad, glutes, and hamstring strength. But don't leave anything out. Exercise your lower body properly. Make sure you've got strong abs and lower back, particularly for endurance running, and then do some strength training, so upper body strength training, because some upper body strength is important for running, but it's very important for maintaining like really good health in your everyday life. So yes, add in some strength training for the upper body, but focus around the comrades and the running training will definitely be on the legs.
Yeah, and the upper body is an interesting one, Lindsay, because you always joke about it in the webinar, but I felt exactly the same way when I ran my first comrades. I felt like the next morning like I'd been obviously maybe running like a gorilla, where I'd been running on my fists because my shoulders and arms were so sore. So the upper body definitely does help as well. We'll get into a couple of specific types of exercises that you can be doing, but just so you know, we've got a free strength plan. If you'd like, you can just click on the link that's in the description below this podcast, also on the video. You can download that and you can start doing it too. And I'll touch a little bit about the progression and it sort of as you would with your running, as you increase the sets and reps, if you'd like, for the strength training in a moment. But Lindsay, what sort of stuff? I mean, you talk about body weight. Some of us have got more body weight than others to do these sorts of strength training. So I definitely don't need free weights because I've got way more body weight than everyone else. So what sort of exercises are we talking about to build those prime movers?
Yeah, and look, what I also want to add here is, and this is a bit harder in a gym actually, is that I like to do my strength training bare feet. And the reason I do that is because I can literally feel, if I am not wearing shoes, I can feel when I am favoring one leg over the other leg when I'm barefoot. So I like to train barefoot, and what I'm trying to do is to keep an equal distribution of pressure on my toes and my heels. Okay, so nice and feeling nice and stable and comfortable and then I want to feel that part of the foot. And often, you know, if especially when I'm being tired and if I'm like dropping a shoulder to get a squat up, for example, I can now feel standing on the cold floor where one, like I'm shifting my weight over to one side and going with my strong leg. So I like to do barefoot. It's one of the things that I feel like helps me get technique right. And then we are looking at, like I said, primarily quad, glute, hamstring, doing things like step ups onto a low step, doing things like single leg squats. And when you start out, you'd maybe only do those to like 30 degrees split squats, which is effectively like a lunge, but it's a static lunge, side to side lunges, doing some bridging exercises where you lie on your back and then pick yourself up with just your feet and your shoulders in contact with the ground. So that really targets glutes and adductors. And then you can do like hip flexors with the stretch cord. You can do adduction and abduction using things like cords. And then into things like bicep curls and dips on a bench and bodyweight push-ups and focusing on abs with a couple of exercises. So that just gives you a good range of things that you can try and you can do and what you should be working on. Our saying, Brad, is three is ideal, two is better than one. One is certainly a whole bunch better than doing no strength training, but that'll give you an idea then of how often you should be doing strength training. It's so important, and it's going to make such a big difference to all your running, not just to Comrades Marathon.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how often, but you've touched on that. And again, you're not going to be doing exactly the same all the way through to Comrades Race, though. So let's talk a little bit about the progression. Obviously, we're still in that phase now where we're just building the foundation from a training perspective. Peak training is coming a little bit later, which we'll talk about on this podcast. But now's the time to be using that strength. Why are you still feeling okay? Because you're going to be super fatigued later on in peak training. You said three's ideal, two's better than one, one's better than none. In an ideal world, three a week now, is that what we should be focusing on? And obviously, as we get into peak training, we'll cut that down a bit.
Yeah, so three a week now would be great. And I will put my hand up and say, I can't get to three a week. I do two a week. Okay. So three a week is really ideal. And I would say this junction in the year, I would even say run one less session and get three in. And I would try and do that up until March. And then from March, twice a week. And then from about the middle of April, once a week. And then, 2 weeks or 10 days out, I would stop. And in that kind of April period, if you are managing your training and you aren't too tired, I would still keep to. It's just once we've got the real benefits of strength training, then I'm happy for us to maintain that through to race day. So short term three, moving into two, and then in your kind of biggest weeks of training, you just slash that back to one.
Talking of cutting back during recovery weeks, obviously on the training plans, the Comrades plans that you've written, it's a 3 week build, 1 week recovery week. What happens in recovery week with strength training? Do you cut back as well?
Yeah, we do, but I'm and not everybody does, and I'm okay with not cutting back on the strength training, because one of the issues, as important as a recovery week is, one of the issues that a lot of clients that I have is that almost breaks the habit and the consistency. So if they don't, yes, if they must train easier, and by and large they do, but just to create some recovery space to reduce the intensity of those workouts, but to keep the consistency, then yes, I'm happy for people to still have a session, but just not to really push hard during recovery.
Cool. Just so that you are aware as well, I know we've got a lot of our athletes who listen to this podcast and watch these videos too, so they are aware. But to everyone else, we actually live stream 7 strength classes every single week. So the cool thing is you can download that free plan, you can do it, but the progression is where the challenge comes, is as you get stronger and towards race days, how do you change those exercises that you keep getting stronger, that you don't stagnate. So we've got highly qualified strength classes. You can get access to that through our Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap. I'll pop a link to that in the show notes and the description as well. So make sure you check that out. We'd love to help you. The cool thing is you can do it from the comfort of your own home. You just need a couple of bands, as Lindsay said at the start, maybe a dumbbell or two, and you literally do not have to step foot in a gym the entire process, and you will work super, super hard. So definitely check that out. That's the Coach Parry Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap. That's where you can get access to that. Lindsay, talking strength, a lot of people say to us, well, what about cycling? I cross train and cycling, and does cycling help you run up hills better? Does that make you stronger? Is that considered strength training?
Yeah, so I know the question you're asking me, Brad, but because of how you asked it, yes, ironically enough, cycling does help you be a better hill runner. So that's one of the big advantages of doing cycling as cross training rather than doing more running. But yes, as a general principle in terms of strength and improving strength, no. I mean, we want to do strength training. Cross training is awesome, and it really does help our running, but it's not strength training. So it doesn't substitute strength training. It constitutes additional cardiovascular training with a much lower risk of injury.
What about running hills?
So running hills is, look, it's important, but it's, again, not critical. So this is a question that I'm getting a lot right now, because we've got a lot of people who live in the Northern Hemisphere in particular that don't have hills for them to train on. So I do like to do some formal hill work, and that can be done on a treadmill. So I do think it's not that I don't think it's important. I absolutely believe that it's important, but it's not catastrophic to your race plans if you don't have hills. And I mean, my dad's, again, I use him a lot in examples, but in this instance he's a very good example, because it was just before he turned 40, we moved to the Free State, Virginia, in the Free State actually, and that is flat. So my dad used to complain he's not getting enough hills, he can't train for hills properly, he's going to have such a bad comrades. And then he went and ran 6:24 and came in the top 5 of the veterans, the 40 pluses that year. So hills are important, but you can do comrades if you don't have access to them. I think that's really the message that I want to give. But if you live in a hilly area, cool, that's to your advantage. Then do lots of your easy runs over the hills. If the hills are really long and steep, then consider leaving out the hill work, because you're basically doing hill work every time you run. But yeah, if you don't have hills, look for a race or two that you can travel to that does have hills, so you can just get some idea of what you're up against and do your strength training.
Yeah, Lindsay, it's interesting you talk about if you live in a hilly area, and this sort of goes back to what we were talking about last week and running particularly your easy runs at the right sort of intensity. And I actually saw a question on this in our forum on the Coach Parry app this week, where somebody was saying on an easy run, can they incorporate hills? And I mean, the answer is yes, but there is a caveat to that.
Yeah, and that's that. And I actually have this argument with people all the time. I mean, it's hard running hard up hills, but if a hill is hard, you're running it too fast. You can make the hill easier by running slowly enough, so that you can get the relative intensity of going uphill the same as the relative intensity on a flat stretch of road. You just have to run slow enough. So yes, incorporate hills. I wouldn't want to do it every weekend, just because it sometimes, if you live in a flat area, I mean specifically, you know, logistically it's difficult. If you live in a very hilly area, same thing applies, is that if you're running hard all the time, that can also be a problem with stunting development, with stunting your progress, having unnecessary risk of like Achilles and glutes injuries. So you do want to try and find some easier routes, but by and large, it's an advantage. And so you will make use of that and do a lot of runs on hills.
Awesome stuff. Lindsay, as always, great to catch up. Don't forget next week to join us again next week. We're going to be talking a little bit about nutrition and sort of planning what you're going to be doing and testing it out, because now is the time to be working on all of that. So do join us next week. If you haven't liked or subscribed, please do. I'm going to just talk. I think what we need to do here, Lindsay, is you and I put these things together. There's a lot of time and effort goes into them. So I'm going to ask, we're going to put in place a little gentleman's agreement here, that we put this out for free, people can listen to it, but you don't get, there's nothing for free. As they say in South Africa, nothing for mahala. You're not paying for these, but we need you, as part of this gentleman's agreement, to share it with your running mates and make sure you hit like and subscribe. That's the least you can do. It doesn't cost you anything, and it helps us. So there you go. There's the gentleman's agreement. If you're going to listen to these, you have to like, subscribe, and share with your running mates. Simple as that. I think that's a good deal. Fair enough. Gentleman's agreement. Make sure you do it. Lindsay, until next week, thank you so much for joining us. From myself, Brad Nadelt, and the coach, Lindsay Parry. It's cheers.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Up. Don't forget to pick up your custom Comrades Marathon 2024 pace band right now. We'll print them out and make sure we've got them waiting for you at the expo in Durban in the build up to Comrades. So head over to coachparry.com/pace or click on the link in the description right now.